This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Friday, the real Friday, April 12th, and today's pod is the best one yet.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
But before we start the show, Yetis, vote for the best one yet out there. We need your votes.
We are up for a Webby's Award for Best Business Podcast.
This would be a huge honor in our space. Jack and I are really excited about this. We got nominated. Top five, baby.
We're top five, but only you can make us number one by voting today for the best one yet.
Now, Besties, many of you have already voted. So now Jack and I are in the first place, but we're only up by 4 percentage points.
That's within the margin of error.
Jack, what's going to happen if we win? What are you going to do?
I'm going to do something epic for the audience. Like, I'm not going to shave my head, but you get the idea.
He's going to shave something. I'll make sure he does something epic. In the meantime, Yetis, we've got the link in today's episode description. So vote for the best one yet for Best Business Podcast.
If we don't get your vote, then our name's kind of a lie. So we really hope you vote for us.
We got to be the best one yet. In the meantime, Jack and I whipped up a fantastic show. Jack, three stories. What do we got for the T-Boy?
For our first story, today, the World Coffee Championships begin in Chicago. And the surprise favorite to win is decaf.
Decaf. Sales are surging because Americans crave drugs without drugs.
For our second story, it's Amazon. Amazon stock hit an all-time high yesterday as the CEO penned his annual shareholder letter.
Because Amazon is using the river strategy.
And our third and final story is Fanatics. The sports company just announced the first ever Comic-Con, but for sports. It's called Fanatics Fest this summer in New York.
Fanatics Fest, they're taking players off the field and putting them on the stage.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories to end the week.
I mean, what a mix of stories to end the week. No one else is doing this mix. I love this mix, Jack.
Over this weekend, you may be headed to your first spring wedding of the season.
Spring, rejuvenation, rebirth, everything's blooming, all that good stuff.
But you know what's the coolest place to get married right now? It's at work.
Yetis, get this. The hot new wedding venue these days is office buildings.
According to Axios, empty office buildings are now hosting weekend weddings on Saturday.
You turn the boardroom into the dance floor.
You're turning the water cooler into the open bar.
You have now officially been promoted from boyfriend to husband.
Your new wife is your work wife.
We can understand what's going on here, can't we, Jack? Because wedding venues, they're getting expensive these days.
They're expensive. They cost a down payment or two, and you haven't even considered the band.
So down in D.C., developers have realized an opportunity.
Their buildings are empty on the weekends. Why not host a wedding on Saturday?
I mean, Jack, fewer faxes, more flowers.
The reception? It's by the receptionist.
Like, it makes sense, actually.
The vows? They're by the vending machine.
Just make sure legal looks through this. Legal, could you take a look at the vows, please?
And honestly, Nick and I love this trend because imagine the unholy matrimony that could go down.
I mean, Jack, what if you could say I do on the 86th floor of the Empire State Building?
Where did you have your first dance? By the gargoyle. That's where.
Like, on the gargoyle at the Chrysler Building.
So clear out the cubicles and put away the printers.
The next big event at your office is going to be Brad and Betty's big day.
Although watch out, Frank from finance is demanding a plus one.
And Jack, I think Carol from accounting's in the conga line. A little bit quiet now.
I now pronounce you VP and senior VP. I mean husband and wife.
Do you take these three? You know what, Jack, let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
First, a quick word from our sponsor. Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, Eddie, if you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. For our first story, the fastest growing type of coffee right now? It's decaf.
Decaffeinated coffee is surging because of a new trend, drugs without drugs.
Jack, call your barista buddy Ben because this is the biggest week of coffee of the year.
For two reasons. First, coffee prices just hit an all-time high, like everything else. And second, Chicago is hosting the World Coffee Championships today.
World Coffee Championships is like the Super Bowl of the bean, Jack.
It's the battle for the best double-digit latte.
Oh, this is the Stanley Cup of coffee. Can we go with that?
Of coffee cups, yeah.
This is an espresso showdown, yet he's pure espresso.
Now, here's the shocker. A recent winner of the coffee championships was a cup of decaf for the first time ever.
Yetis, we repeat, decaf coffee just won the U.S. championships the other week.
And that's a shocker because decaf is the most disrespected type of coffee.
It is so, so disrespected, Jack. I mean, like half the hipsters in Gowanus have like a death before decaf tattoo. You know what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about.
Now, Yetis, to be clear, I'm a double shot. Like, give me all the caffeine you can.
Full disclosure, this is Nick, and I'm a no caffeine Nick.
Nick's got plenty of energy already. Trust me.
If I went full cup of Joe before this pot, I mean, Jack, this is Nick. I'd break a microphone.
And maybe thanks to Nick's decaf sales are crushing in America right now.
Get this, Yetis. Decaffeinated coffee sales hit $20 billion with a B dollars in the United States last year, according to Bloomberg.
Decaf has outpaced regular coffee sales growth for the past 5 years, and decaf sales are expected to jump 50% by 2030.
Here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Decaf is actually a tech innovation. In fact, decaf's a good reminder that innovations can happen by accident.
In 1906, a German man named Ludwig von Decaf, just kidding, his name was Ludwig Roselius, he left his coffee beans in salt water by accident.
And here was his discovery. The salt removed the caffeine. Like, he drank the salt water coffee and he was not bouncing off the walls, apparently, Jack.
But the coffee still tasted like a regular coffee. The flavor was still there.
So in 1906, he patented this new concept, which was decaffeinated coffee.
Now, the process has gotten safer and more sophisticated over the years. You're not depending on, like, the harbor seawater anymore.
In fact, the key is to open up the bean's pores, which lets the caffeine out and filters the caffeine, keeps the taste.
Or at least it filters out 97% of the caffeine. That's what qualifies as the definition of a decaf coffee cup.
Yet, if you're drinking a decaf coffee in the United States, it may be 3% caffeinated. You should know that.
But Ludwig von Decaf has no explanation for the surge in decaf coffee sales 100 years later.
No, he does not, Jack. But our takeaway does. So, now I said Nick, not Rick. Oh my God, all the time at Starbucks, man. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies who are drinking decaf divas?
Consumers want drugs, but without the drugs.
Yetis, this rise of decaf, we think, is actually part of a larger trend. And that trend is drugs without drugs. You want drugs without the drugs.
People enjoy certain rituals, but they don't want the repercussions.
For example, people want weed without the weed high, and that has led to the CBD market.
People want alcohol, but without the alcohol drunkenness, and that has led to the non-alcoholic spirit industry.
And honestly, even plant-based meat is meat without the meat indulgence. It's a drug without a drug.
And now decaf. You want your coffee ritual, but you don't want your coffee's buzz.
Well, Yetis, that is all part of a new consumer trend. People are craving drugs, but without the drugs. For our second story, Amazon CEO just published his annual shareholder letter, and there were some gems in this thing.
But what did we notice? That Amazon's resources flow like a river.
Yetis, last month, Jack and I jumped in T-Boy style, and we read Amazon's first ever shareholder letter from Jeff Bezos back in 1997 when the company was IPOing.
It was our snooze pod. We read the entire letter verbatim to help put you to sleep because it was daylight savings.
Yeah. You got to check out that episode. It was special. It helped you go to sleep. We literally just read every word in that letter.
But Nick and I genuinely believe that shareholder letters can be exciting.
Oh, we love shareholder letters.
An Amazon shareholder letter often is exciting.
That is Jeff Bezos's hand-picked successor, Andy Jassy, wrote his Amazon shareholder yesterday. And honestly, it revealed a lot of things.
First, the table stakes. He mentioned artificial intelligence 27 times.
Amazon invested $4 billion into Anthropic, the second biggest AI company. So, of course, they're obsessed with AI.
They're also making AI chips, I guess.
They called AI the biggest technology since the internet, which, like, even is a talking point your grandma's saying these days.
I'm pretty sure AI wrote that sentence for him.
That wasn't revealing, but this is what we thought was shocking and revealing.
The details about Amazon Prime Video that have never been revealed before.
Yetis, get this. Amazon just revealed that their viewership for Amazon Prime Video for the first time ever is how many people, Jack?
200 million people a month watch something on Amazon Prime Video.
Okay, 200 million people a month are watching streaming on Amazon Prime Video. Jack, could you sprinkle on some context
for us? That is second only to Netflix, who has 260 million.
Now, Jack, Amazon Prime Video has always kind of felt like a freebie. Like, it's just there, free.
It's included at no extra cost, as long as you're a Prime member, so yeah.
But recently, Amazon made a little switcheroo-ness with Amazon Prime Video.
This year, Amazon monetized Prime Video for the first time with a classic strategy we call hook 'em and book 'em.
Hook 'em and book 'em. Yeti's first, Amazon hooked us with 17 years of basically free video content.
And now they're booking us. This year, they started adding ads, or you can pay $3 a month to avoid those ads.
Well, that is one reason why Amazon's ad revenue hit a whopping $47 billion with a B in 2023. Not too shabby.
That is third only to Google and Meta in the ad sales market.
So, Jack, can you whip out the whiteboard? Actually, no. Can you whip out the podium and tell us where Amazon is sitting right now, man?
They're number one in e-commerce, obviously. They're number one in cloud computing, too. They're number two in video streaming, we just learned. And they're number three in advertising.
I'm sorry, maybe this is the early Paris Olympics, but gold, silver, or bronze medals across the Olympics of industries, Jack?
E-commerce, cloud computing, video streaming, and advertising. Yeah. They got metal on all those.
That is why Amazon stock just hit an all-time high, and Amazon is about to hit $2 trillion in market cap for the first time ever.
And that milestone will arrive Thursday if you prefer that they arrive in fewer boxes at your door.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Amazon?
Amazon's core strategy is to be like a river, to flow wherever there's a void.
Yetis, back in 1997, Amazon let people buy books online. The first market void that they filled.
Then they noticed you wanted to buy more, so they started selling everything online.
And then Amazon noticed selling online required computer power, so they started Amazon Web Services, a cloud computing business, in 2006.
Then 1 year later, with all that cloud computing, they offered streaming video at no extra cost.
And then those giant customer bases flowed to the next logical conclusion, advertising.
It's almost too on point a metaphor. But Amazon's strategy the past 20 years has been to be like a river.
Amazon the company is doing a lot what Amazon the river does.
Its resources flow to wherever there's a void.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively, FedEx. Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you'll play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work. For our third and final story before the weekend, Fanatics, the $31 billion sports apparel unicorn, is launching, get this, Comic-Con for sports.
It's another example of sports trading out competition for entertainment.
Now, Yeti's funny thing here. Whether you're a Giants fan or a Cowboys fan, Rangers fan or an Islanders fan, the same company is selling that jersey you're wearing. All those teams.
Fanatics is the biggest company in sports today.
Seventh largest startup in America, worth $31 billion. That is five lifts.
Fanatics also thinks they're basically like the Shohei Ohtani of apparel companies. They think they can play every position.
Fanatics is like trying to do everything in sports because Fanatics began in apparel.
If you bought a jersey, it's probably made by Fanatics.
And then Fanatics expanded to collectibles.
Topps trading cards? Yeah, they're owned by Fanatics.
And then last year, Fanatics raised $700 million to jump into sports betting.
The Fanatics Sportsbook. You can bet on LeBron in a Fanatics LeBron jersey on the Fanatics app.
And yes, Yetis, in case you were wondering, this is the company that is making those see-through baseball jerseys out right now. Kind of controversial.
Drama. But they're trying to bury that headline with this new headline.
Get this. Fanatics is organizing the first ever Fanatics Fest, a convention for sports fans.
Fanatics is actually copying a playbook you've seen already, if you're a Marvel fan.
This is what we found fascinating about this story. What they're trying to build is the Comic-Con of athletics.
Comic-Con. I think it's Comic-Con, right?
It's Comic-Con. We dropped the extra C. Oh, no, we add the extra C.
It's the ultimate nerd event. You could dress up like Princess Leia's cousin and then, like, nuzzle up with Chewbacca.
Man, you're taking pictures with Spider-Man over there. When's the fifth movie coming out? They'll answer your questions. You hang out with all your buddies.
There's a whole cosplay scene.
Okay, but Yetis, there is nothing nerdy about the numbers from Comic-Con.
Every year, 200,000 fans flock to New York City, generating $100 million in spending at that convention.
Well, Fanatics sees those numbers and they got curious. So they're launching Fanatics Fest this August to be the Comic-Con of athletics.
They think they can do the same thing as Comic-Con, but instead of superhero fans, sports fans.
It's actually really literally the playbook of Comic-Con because this three-day event is happening at the same location as Comic-Con.
The Javits Center in New York City. And they hired the founder of Comic-Con, so it's following the same playbook.
Now, Fanatics was able to finagle all four major sports leagues to sign on to this event.
And if fans want to join, they pay $50 general admission and much more than that if you want to meet the stars who will be on the floor.
Peyton Manning's going to be interviewing the director of his favorite sports movie at the Fanatics Fest.
Kevin Durant's going to be there, so maybe you can play one-on-one or try and fail to block him.
Autographs at the end if you happen to touch the rim.
And Hulk Hogan's going to be there too. I would go just to get body slammed by Hulk Hogan.
Now, Yetis, when you step back and call timeout, you can see the flywheel effect happening at Fanatics, can't you, Jack?
Nice sports reference with the timeout.
Because you're going to walk into this convention and they're going to be selling Fanatics shirts and you're going to buy Fanatics collectibles and you're going to bet on the Fanatics app and you're going to do it all under the roof of the Fanatics event. Peyton, can I get an autograph?
Like we said, Fanatics, they're the biggest company in sports today.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Fanatics Fest?
The biggest trade in sports is competition for entertainment.
Yeti, Jack and I have been keeping track, and we've noticed a broader shift of sports embracing entertainment over tradition.
My dad hates it, but the NBA just launched a mid-season tournament this year that's just totally random, but it was popular and fun to watch.
Tiger and Rory just launched a new golf concept that's just one-on-one golf, the opposite of typical golf.
Floyd Mayweather's not fighting other boxers. He's fighting Logan Paul, the YouTuber.
And Jack and I have seen multiple athletes now own their very own media companies, like LeBron James and Steph Curry.
Athletes are behaving less like competitors and more like creators and entertainers.
And the leagues, they're acting more like Hollywood studios than they are sports.
Because viewers want the drama, not the dribble.
And that's why the biggest trade in sports is competition for entertainment. Even if Big Ted hates it.
He hates all of it, dude.
He hates it. He hates it.
He still hates that the Yankees changed their uniform 100 years ago.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for the real Friday?
Decaf coffee sales are expected to jump 50% by the end of the decade.
Decaf divas, we're having a moment because people want drugs without the drugs.
For our second story, Amazon is approaching a $2 trillion market cap after announcing that 200 million people watch Prime.
Because Amazon's business flows like a river to wherever there's a void.
And our third and final story is Fanatics. They're hosting Comic-Con, but for sports this summer. It's a convention for sports fans.
The disruption of sports, another example of how sports is trading out competition for entertainment, no matter what your dad says.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, Margot Robbie doesn't want to just play Barbie anymore. She's got another toy movie in the works right now.
She's working on Monopoly, a movie about the classic board game.
Turns out Monopoly is the world's most successful board game with 99% brand awareness. And now the creator of Barbie is doing a movie on Monopoly.
And second, Coachella, the 2-weekend-long music festival in Southern California, begins this weekend.
Yeah, we got LDR, Doja Cat, a reunion by No Doubt. Those are the headliners this year. Not too shabby.
We're actually working on a story about this year's Coachella. More to come next week.
And finally, In-N-Out Burger is the iconic cheeseburger chain of California, and they've got a big update to a story we did last year.
Last year, we told you about In-N-Out's plans to expand eastward, beginning with an outpost in Tennessee.
Okay, but unfortunately, yesterday, the president of In-N-Out, whose parents founded the company, said that they're not coming to the East Coast and that she will not go further than Tennessee ever.
She said probably never, at least under my watch.
Probably never? Feels like a never, Jack. Now, time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by Savannah Westwood from lovely Orlando, Florida.
Trivia. Which came first? The kiwi? The kiwi? Or the kiwi?
Okay, what Jack's saying here is, which came first? Kiwi the bird, kiwi the fruit, or kiwi the human being from New Zealand? Because those are terms for all of those things, actually.
Yeah, they're all kiwis. Now, the answer is the bird.
That's the bird. The first kiwi arrived 50 million years ago and was henceforth called the kiwi. That was the first kiwi.
Kiwi the fruit came second, and only after that were people from New Zealand nicknamed kiwis.
So kiwis out there, enjoy your kiwis and watch out for those kiwis.
Good work, Nick. That is a good, clean family joke at the end of the show.
Yeah, actually came out better than I thought. I'm not going to lie. Yetis, you looked fantastic all week. Jack, we actually got three big things that got to happen this weekend. You ready for this? Here we go.
What's going on?
All right, the besties have got to vote for T-Boy to become the best business podcast. We got a link in this episode description.
Just log in through your Google account. It's so easy to vote.
And second, sign up for our weekly newsletter, the best newsletter yet. It comes out this Saturday, tomorrow.
We dropped the link in the episode description for that too.
And finally, celebrate the wins.
No link needed for that one. Just a kiwi.
Just a kiwi. Celebrate those wins, Yetis. And Jack and I will see you Monday. And before we go, a shout out to legendary Yeti Carol Journey, who Jack and I met with the whole team at T-Boy Studios in San Francisco. Great to have you, Carol.
Congratulations to Chris Jin from Cincinnati, who launched a mobile bar company called Sexy Drink Saturday.
Oh, and Drew Perez in South Haven, Mississippi is taking the SIE exam. Drew, we know what that's like. You got this, and then you're going to celebrate that win.
Congratulations to Angel and Lila Sita for celebrating their first anniversary in Chicago.
And a happy birthday to Yeti Corrice Lopez, who's from Brooklyn, but is celebrating with her buddies on a boat in lovely Fort Lauderdale right now.
She and Elijah are a couple of Yetis. T-Boy together.
And Mariana Gonzalez, enjoy that birthday from Miami, but celebrating with a kebab in Istanbul.
And go Quakers to Juan Carlos, who's turning 20 in Guatemala City.
And Maria Atkinson from Rochester celebrating a birthday also in Fort Lauderdale, also maybe on a boat.
Happy 30th birthday to Ken Mormon in Buffalo, New York.
And a happy birthday to Paige McGavin, celebrating in the marina down the street, hopefully with a lovely acai bowl.
And happy 8th birthday to Shishka Bobby Horowitz in Silver Spring, Maryland.
And Elizabeth Dwyer, the legendary EJ, happy birthday celebrating with the family in Charlottesville, Virginia.
And to anyone else celebrating something today, make it a T-Boy.
Celebrate the wins.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Netflix, and Nick owns stock of Shake Shack. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
from Wondery. Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.